The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You know, we have rules in place. Each of us signs a non-disclosure agreement. Anybody that has a security clearance, and so all indications are, again, this is a criminal act, a willful violation of those, another reason why we're continuing to investigate and support DOJ's investigation.
Today, the Justice Department arrested Jack Douglas Teixeira in connection with an investigation into alleged unauthorized removal, retention, and transmission of classified national defense information.
But look, in terms of what this group actually was and what kind of bound them together, it appears that they all had a love, according to this friend here, of God, the military, guns.
He was a young, charismatic man who loved nature, God, who loved shooting guns and racing cars. Of course, there's some anti-government sentiment, but that's not unlike most right-wingers in the modern day.
Here, and we're hearing things like that this suspect was heavy into gun culture. He may have had some views against the U.S. government. There were racist and misogynist things being said on this server.
The Washington Post, as you know, reviewed video of this suspect yelling racial and anti-Semitic slurs.
Is this a dangerous person? This Air Guardsman, who's now been taken into custody, had talked about being a gun enthusiast, had been at gun ranges. He's obviously a member of the military.
And he's the big guy in the scene. Somehow he has access to this kind of information, and that makes him even larger.
A person who thinks they know better than everyone else, they're smarter than everyone else in their view.
That this is a 21-year-old man, he's described as a gun enthusiast, feels like, in some of these descriptions, somebody who's maybe hungry for power.
Wow. So he's religious. Let's see if we can tick off all the boxes. He's religious. He's in the military. He loves guns. He goes to shooting ranges, gun ranges. What else? Oh, he's a right winger. I mean, it's amazing. He checks every single... The media are loving this. This is the big story from yesterday. And don't you love, by the way, don't you love how that again now, not it wasn't this way 2 weeks ago, but again, it's crucially important that we really get in there and investigate the motive behind this man's actions to leak all of those documents. 2 weeks ago, when anyone asked about the transgender shooter wrote a manifesto that's still being covered up. And people that question the motives of this lunatic who wrote out why she did it, then she shot her way into a Christian school. She murdered 6 Christians, including 3 9-year-olds. And if you dare question her motive, that's just going to endanger, not Christians, transgenders, you see. So don't bring up motive. If you bring up motive, you're part of the problem. In fact, they blamed Republicans for that mass shooting, well, the gun first, and then Republicans secondarily because they don't get behind the assault weapons ban. This is the world that we're in today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Yes, it is. Go to the Trumpet Daily, or actually TrumpetDaily.com. It's hard to work that into a smooth flowing sentence. TrumpetDaily.com. That takes you to the live video stream of this show. And you can watch the show live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. You can also, of course, watch this program on demand. You can have it downloaded to your device, your laptop, your phone, your iPad, whatever it is. And, of course, you can go to our websites and listen or view the program on demand as well. So the media, like a pack of wolves, they're all chasing after this story yesterday. And there are 5 or 6 different angles to this story that are revealing, that are newsworthy. And we'll come to that. But I want to go to page 6 of my notes first. I was thinking about this on the drive over, thinking about this story from just 2 days ago. It was in the Washington Times. The House Republicans are investigating all of these financial connections that the Biden crime family has to China and other nations, other adversaries around the world. This says here, Cathay Bank, which is based in Los Angeles but has offices in China, voluntarily turned over bank records requested by Senators Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, so not the House, I guess, it's in the Senate, and Charles Grassley of Iowa. It says every other American bank denied the two Republicans' request for financial records, so all the other banks are covering it up. No, you can't get into those records, those transactions. But Cathay Bank, it's different. It says the records the bank handed over showed deep financial ties between the president's son and brother and the now defunct CEFC China Energy, which had ties to the Chinese Communist Party. You may remember Tony Bobulinski talking about some of these companies, these front companies that the Biden crime family used to keep these slush funds going. It says here, the energy giant wired $1 million to Hudson West 3, a joint venture owned by Hunter Biden and Gong Wendong, a business associate of CEFC's founder and chairman, Yi Jiming. It says a second, it doesn't end there, listen to this, a second Chinese energy company, Northern International Capital Holdings, which is associated with the communist-backed CEFC, wired $5 million to Hudson West, the Cathay bank records show. The money sent from the two companies funded a $4.8 million wire transfer from Hudson West to Hunter Biden's companies, Owasso PC and Owasso LLC, the Lion Hall Group, owned by the president's brother, James Biden. So you've got Jim Biden in on it. You got Hunter Biden. Hunter, remember, he's over in Ireland on the Goodwill Tour. He's greeting crowds. Hunter Biden, the son, addicted to crack and prostitutes, or at least he was. And then he writes about it. And then the media, they love it. They fawn over him. I mean, he's a hero for all of these crimes that he recorded on his laptop. It says here, the Cathay records show Owasco PC sent 20 wire transfers totaling nearly $1.4 million to the Lion Hall Group. Hudson West paid Hunter Biden a $500,000 retainer fee plus $100,000 per month. James Biden, this is the brother, James Biden was paid $65,000 per month. I mean, these are all people, the Biden crime family, just raking in millions. Pay to play. Well, they were playing, all right. Goes back to the vice president years and even continued into 2017 and 18 when Biden was out of office. It says here the transactions were made from August 2017 through October 2018. After Biden left the Obama White House. At the time, Mr. Biden was considered a top contender for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. So it was still in the interest of these companies with connections to the CCP to keep paying the family members because they had enough foresight to know that there's a good chance Biden could be back in the White House. And he sure was. Illegitimately, of course. Says here, this is a $5 million fee from a company connected to Yi Jiming and CEFC and its affiliates, which are essentially arms of the communist Chinese regime, says Mr. Grassley. A couple more paragraphs. It says, the Cathay bank records provide a detailed look at just one segment of the Biden family foreign business network, which has yielded millions of dollars from deals with Russia, Ukraine, and other countries that date back to Mr. Biden's term as vice president. Russia, Ukraine, and of course China. Millions. Millions, tens of millions at play here. It says here, Mr. Biden has denied having any involvement with or knowledge about his family's business entanglements, but House and Senate Republicans are investigating potential influence peddling and how the transactions might pose threats to national security. I saw another article this morning, I think it was at American Thinker, which noted that
there was a time when Joe Biden was the VP that Hunter was getting $83,000 per month from Burisma, and how that as soon as he left office, the VP did, then that fee or that payment was reduced to $50,000 per month. I had not seen that little wrinkle before, but that right there shows you what Hunter was really getting paid for. The influence. Perhaps the secrets too. Who knows? Maybe both. And then as soon as Joe Biden's out of office, then, well, let's cut Hunter's salary because he's not quite as influential as he once was when his dad worked in the White House. So that's in the Washington Times just this week. Among the many different angles that you can take to this breaking story yesterday, the 21-year-old, they had the cameras there, and the media, they were there before the FBI. There's a report at Gateway that says that the New York Times, which worked together with the Washington Post to break the story, I mean, they're actually hunting for the leaker, not the FBI. Well, I guess the FBI maybe had its own investigation going, but the media, they're the ones that found this guy. So they're working in, I mean, that right there shows what the media is today. They're just the propaganda arm of the Obama regime, an extension of Barack Hussein Obama. This guy has all these damaging leaks that he posts on this gaming site, and it really is an embarrassment for the U.S. government. It makes the U.S. government look bad because it shows that the government is lying about Ukraine and other things too. And of course, the deep state can't have that going on. So they're going to go after this guy and try to put him in prison for the rest of his life. He's not a courageous whistleblower. Far from it. He is a dangerous leaker. And you'll remember how Barack Obama went after leakers during his first two terms in office. This is the way he operates. He's vicious. If you tell secrets about Obama's regime, then you're going to go to the slammer. And how many leakers were treated as heroes during those 4 years of the bad orange man? Donald Trump, Jim Comey, he helped himself to classified documents and then gave them to the New York Times. What about Vindman? I think he was in on the phone call to Zelensky. But then it was these other whistleblowers that the media did everything that they could to protect. We've got to protect their identity. We've got to keep it covered up. They treated them as heroes. Tucker pointed out on his program last night, you look at the energy and the enthusiasm that the media put into chasing down this 21-year-old leaker, and you compare it to other things that the media couldn't care less about. I mean, as Tucker said, we still don't know who put those two pipe bombs in D.C. on the day of the January 6th protest. We still don't know who leaked that Supreme Court document where it was Roe v. Wade being overturned, the Dobbs case, I think it was. We still don't know where Jeffrey Epstein got all of his money. The media are totally disinterested in any of these important stories. You would think they'd be chasing down sources, finding leakers themselves, to get to the truth, to get to the bottom of these things. But now in this case, I mean, they're all in unison. This is John Kirby. Just to go back, we've played this previously. But when news broke of these papers, these Pentagon papers being out there, Kirby, remember, he got up and said, hey, he's basically giving the marching orders to the media, the talking heads, the propagandists, saying that information, it better not make headlines. It better not be out there. You better cover this up. It's basically what he was saying. And then, following that, to see the media chase down the 21-year-old to find out who the leaker is, and then they've got the cameras from above, and he's walking backwards to the FBI, and they're handcuffing him. Oh, it all makes for good television, doesn't it? And also, by the way, a massive, massive distraction. Here you've got everyone in the Biden crime family receiving millions from an adversary that's about to waltz into Taiwan. And the media, as far as that story goes, well, I mean, the Washington Times, you can't take the Washington Times seriously. Look, it's the New York Times and the Washington Post. That's what matters. Listen to John Kirby from last week, clip one.
This is information that has no business in the public domain. It has no business, if you don't mind me saying, on the pages of front pages of newspapers or on television. It is not intended for public consumption, and it should not be out there.
Yeah, nice little pat on the podium for double emphasis. This has no business being in the public domain. This is top secret. I mean, you've got documents out there saying that Ukraine's actually losing the war. That doesn't fit within the narrative. And you've got documents that don't belong out there that are talking about how involved the U.S. is in guiding this operation, this war effort against Russia. We've been told that, look, we'll just supply you with some funding and a lot of ammunition, by the way. But this is Ukraine's operation. Well, that's not what these documents reveal. No wonder the government's so embarrassed. There's other revelations, too, about U.S. spying on even friendly nations. Lots of embarrassment at the Pentagon, in the White House. So look, you got to go after this 21-year-old and the media to be out front. New York Times, Washington Post, they worked together to uncover the identity of the leaker, essentially doing the Fed's job for them. You think about when did the Pentagon Papers, the original Pentagon Papers happen? That was back in 1971. A concerned deep stater, if you could call him that, who knew that the government was lying to the American people about the Vietnam War. And so he copies all these documents. He delivers them to the New York Times. The New York Times have, what, the 10-part story? The Pentagon Papers? And the guy, I forget his name, he's treated as a hero. They made a movie about this a few years ago. Yeah, this was back when the media were actually speaking truth to power. They were government watchdogs, not in the sense that they were protecting the government. They were going after the government and exposing lies. That's not the way it works anymore, for sure. Listen to Glenn Greenwald. He was on with Tucker last night. This is clip three.
He did the job of what journalists claim to do, which is show the public the truth. If you work for the intelligence agencies, you would be furious at this person. You would hate him because he revealed that you just lied. He exposed the truth about what you were doing. What's amazing is the New York Times, the Washington Post, all the people who were at that Pentagon briefing today think the way the CIA and the Pentagon think. They hate this person. It was the New York Times and the Washington Post that did the FBI's work and found the leaker and led the FBI to him. They're demanding that he be punished. They're demanding that the government clamp down and keep things more and more secret. What kind of journalist would ever do that, would want to see a leaker exposed and punished and then demand that the government keep even more secret? But that is what these media corporations are there to do. They love leaks when the CIA and Homeland Security tell them to leak. That's when they disseminate propaganda to the public, like they did during the Trump years when they leaked the transcript between Michael Flynn and Ambassador Kislyak, the most serious kind of leaking crime. The Washington Post did that. Nobody looked for that leaker. Nobody cared. Everybody cheered because it served the interests of the security state. But when it comes to transparency that undermines the agenda of these agencies and that proves to the American people what the truth is, it's amazing that these journalists are on the side of the government and will actually hunt down the leaker and demand that he be punished even more.
They're just an extension of the regime, these journalists. He talked about the leak with respect to Mike Flynn. What about more recently, the leak that came out of Alvin Bragg's office? A felony. That's a felony. It was a sealed indictment, and we knew all the details of it before it was even revealed in court. Who leaked that? Was it Alvin Bragg himself? Or was it someone in his office? We'll never know, because the media don't care. They think that's something that's praiseworthy. Hey, we know the details. 34 counts. Donald Trump could go to jail for 136 years. Oh, they reported all of that with glee. Washington Post, it says here, the man behind a massive leak of U.S. government secrets that has exposed spying on allies, revealed the grim prospect for Ukraine's war with Russia, and ignited diplomatic fires for the White House, is a young, charismatic gun enthusiast who shared highly classified documents with a group of far-flung acquaintances searching for companionship amid the isolation of the pandemic. He loves his guns. He loves his Christian religion. He loves NASCAR. He loves going to the shooting range. All those things. It says here, the young member read OG's message closely and hundreds more that he said followed on a regular basis for months. They were, he recalled, what appeared to be near verbatim transcripts of classified intelligence documents that OG indicated, that's the guy or the initials that he went by, OG indicated, his name is Teixeira, Jack Teixeira, that OG indicated that he had brought home from his job at a military base, which the member declined to identify. So, and we still don't even know if this guy brought him home. He claimed this on that Discord site, but it could be someone else. He maybe was just the one who posted it. But anyway, he's guilty. It's just like Trump with the Bragg indictment. Guilty. Guilty until proven innocent. That's the way it works when you're going after the political opposition. When the communist left is coming after you, then they will do anything to assign guilt before you even had a trial. And as you just heard from Greenwald, they're definitely pro-leakers. Just ask Jim Comey. Look at the Trump years. Listen to this. This is Farkas. I forget her first name, but we've played this years ago. This was in 2017, right around the transition time when Donald Trump's about to come into office. And the security state, as Glenn Greenwald calls it, they were panicking right then and there because, I mean, Obama had set things up. He had set things up to use those agencies, to weaponize those agencies against the political opposition. And they were very concerned, the security state, with Donald Trump coming in. So listen to what she openly admits. I think this was on MSNBC, clip 6.
And then Evelyn Farkas, the other big story of the day. You actually knew about this attempt to get and preserve information, and full transparency, we're doing some work yourself. Tell us about that.
Well, I was urging my former colleagues and frankly speaking, the people on the Hill. Mm-hmm. It was more actually aimed at telling the Hill people, get as much information as you can, get as much intelligence as you can before President Obama leaves the administration, because I had a fear that somehow that information would disappear with the senior people who left. So it would be hidden away in the bureaucracy, that the Trump folks, if they found out how we knew what we knew about the Trump staff's dealing with Russians, that they would try to compromise those sources and methods, meaning we would no longer have access to that intelligence. So I became very worried because not enough was coming out into the open, and I knew that there was more. We have very good intelligence on Russia. So then I had talked to some of my former colleagues, and I knew that they were trying to also help get information to the Hill.
A lot going on today.
Yeah.
Mark,
that's
Alpha.
Why you have the leaking.
Exactly.
People are worried. All right.
Exactly. That's why you have the leaking. Yeah, exactly, says Mika. So she's telling all of her friends in the intel community, I think you can see there, it's from March of 2017, gather up as much information as you can. On what? On the Rush, you've got to preserve the Russian trail, the Russian hoax, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. Gather all the information that you can on that and then just keep leaking. And they did it for 4 years. It led to the Mueller investigation. Before that, it was spying on Donald Trump. It was perfectly healthy and needed for democracy, you see. You see how it works from both directions. The leaks, the whistleblowers. I mean, they're in the minds of Farkas and those on the radical left, I mean, there's a distinct difference between this 21-year-old. He's a dangerous leaker. And all the others, Vindman, forget the guy in the phone call hoax that was the whistleblower. There to be lionized. Vindman got a job at MSNBC, right? Because he worked to bring down Donald Trump. This is from Reuters. How this squares with yesterday's news cycle, I'll never know, except that if it's an important story, somehow, some way, you've got to insert Russia, Russia, Russia. Reuters says Russia or pro-Russian elements are likely behind the leak of several classified U.S. military documents posted on social media that offer a partial month-old snapshot of the war in Ukraine. Three U.S. officials told Reuters on Friday, while the Justice Department said separately it was probing the leak. So here come three leakers to tell you that these documents, these Pentagon papers that were released by this 21-year-old, that they may have been manipulated by Russia. So which is it? Is it dangerous information that this young man let go of and allowed the whole world to see? Or is it just simply Russian propaganda? Well, I guess it's both. Because you can't have a really serious and important story, as I say, without having Russia at the heart of it, can you? This Reuters piece says, the documents appear to have been altered to lower the number of casualties suffered by Russian forces, the U.S. officials said, adding their assessments were informal and separate from the investigation into the leak itself. Do not wait for the investigation to play out. Look, the DOJ says, hey, you three, now make sure it's anonymous, because these are anonymous leaks, and if it's going in the direction to the media, and then the media disseminates it, see, then it's all perfect. As long as they control the narrative and the flow of information, then everything's above board. Everything's perfectly legal. Everything is perfect. But if it's some no-name 21-year-old who loves guns and NASCAR, and he's making the Pentagon look bad, he's going to go to prison for life. He's certainly not going to have movies made about him, like they did about the guy from 1971. It says the U.S. official spoke on condition of anonymity. Of course. Of course. Here's a story about the leaker basing its take on three leakers, three anonymous sources. You can't make this up. Reuters says the Kremlin and Russia's embassy in Washington did not immediately respond to requests for comment. An initial batch of documents circulated on sites including Twitter and Telegram dated March 1 and bearing markings showing them classified as secret or top secret. It says one document posted on social media said 16,000 to 17,500 Russian forces had been killed since Russia's February 24, 2022 invasion of Ukraine. The United States believes the actual figure is much higher, at around 200,000 Russians. So the documents say about, 17,000 Russians have been killed in this war. The U.S., the official version of the U.S. take on this, is that it's more like 200,000. You see, because Russia is being slaughtered. Russia, Milley's already told us Russia has lost. I played that clip for you a couple weeks ago. Lloyd Austin, he's out there saying the same thing. He's probably got the big face mask on as he says it, but still, this is the narrative. Ukraine is pushing Russia out. Ukraine has the upper hand. Ukraine has killed 200,000 Russians. These Pentagon papers say 17,000. It says here, the United States believe, I read that, the Ukrainian presidential official A Ukrainian presidential official said on Friday that the leak contained a very large amount of fictitious information and looked like a Russian disinformation operation. So Zelensky's people and the security state here in the United States, they both believe, hey, this has all of the classic hallmarks of Russian disinformation. So on the one hand, it's a dangerous leak. He's exposing state secrets to the whole world. On another hand, or the other hand, it's just Russian propaganda. So it's not a big deal. But we'll still send the kid to prison. Hopefully, I think you can get 10 years. If you get it on the Espionage Act, and you get 10 years per document. I mean, it's kind of like the Trump thing. 136, 150, 200 years behind bars for this leak. It's very serious. It's very serious. It's Russian propaganda. Look, Russians are being slaughtered. And it's very, it's also very, very serious, this leak. Did I play the Did I play the clip from Tucker yet? If I did not, forgive me, but if I don't think I did, play Tucker summarizing the lies that the government has told us with respect to Ukraine.
And the slides show that this is, in fact, not Ukraine's war. It's our war. The United States is a direct combatant in a war against Russia. As we speak, American soldiers are fighting Russian soldiers. So this is not a regional conflict in Eastern Europe. This is a hot war between the two primary nuclear superpowers on Earth. And yet this war has never been formally declared. It has not been authorized by Congress. And for that reason, this war is a violation of American law. It is a crime. The second thing we learn from these slides is that despite direct U.S. involvement, Ukraine is in fact losing the war. Seven Ukrainians are being killed for every Russian. Ukrainian air defenses have been utterly degraded. Ukraine is losing. The Biden administration is perfectly aware of this. They're panicked about it, but they have lied about this fact to the public. Just 2 weeks ago, for example, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin told the U.S. Senate that Russian military power is, quote, waning. In other words, Russia is losing the war. That was a lie. He knew it was when he said it, but he repeated it in congressional testimony. That is a crime. But Lloyd Austin has not been arrested for committing that crime. Instead, the only man who has been taken into custody, or likely ever will be, is a 21-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman who leaked the slides that showed that Lloyd Austin was lying. He revealed the crimes, therefore he's the criminal. That's how Washington works. Telling the truth is the only real sin.
And so all day yesterday, 24/7, the news was about the leaker and not about the content of the documents. Or to the extent that it was, you get Reuters' take. You don't really, yes, those documents have been leaked, but they've been manipulated by the Russians. You see, it's Russian disinformation. So there are the angles brought to you by the propagandists in the media. Russian disinformation, and look, this is serious, what happened here. The leak, he's going to go to jail for a long time. Well, what about the documents themselves? Russian disinformation, we're not even going to go there. It's kind of like John Kirby says, this has no place in the public domain. This is secret. And like Tucker brings out, you expose the truth. You expose the lies, and you make yourself a prey, as the Bible says. You make yourself a target if you get out there and tell the truth. This is from the Washington Post. And how rich is this? Given what goes on when the target is Donald Trump, the leaks, Brennan, Clapper, all of them, Farkas just admitted it there. That's why the leaks. We gathered all the information, and that's why we have all the leakers. Exactly, says Mika. Exactly. We're trying to preserve democracy here, these radical communists say. The Washington Post says any breach in the integrity of the nation's system of managing secrets is a cause for serious concern. So you see, now, for the Washington Post, this is very serious. Serious with like seven R's. Serious. It's very, very serious now. It says here, the leaks of classified intelligence documents online through Discord, a platform popular with gamers, appears to have compromised fresh and highly sensitive intelligence, a breach that is damaging. And also underscores that the system of managing secrets is in deep crisis. Nothing like that during the Trump years. Nothing like that 2 weeks ago when the Bragg indictment was leaked to the press, leaked to the Washington Post. But now you see it, there's a deep crisis in the security state. And you can see where that this is leading. This is from an NBC tweet earlier today. Exclusive! I mean, this is exclusive from NBC. Must be serious. The Biden administration is looking at expanding how it monitors social media sites and chat rooms after U.S. intelligence failed to realize classified Pentagon documents circulated online for weeks. Officials briefed on the matter say, what a perfect opportunity for Joe Obama to expand their powers even further. Never let a crisis go to waste. As one commentator put it, so the Pentagon Papers leak is being used to justify more censorship. Never mind that the leaker had top secret clearance at the Pentagon, and it was the military's mistake. The Biden regime says the solution is more unconstitutional censorship of Americans. Yet another power grab for Joe Bama, for the communist insurrectionists. Over at Conservative Treehouse, Sundance says this, never letting a crisis go to waste is very useful, a very useful tool, especially when the government creates the crisis. As CTH has said from the first discussion of the classified intelligence leaks, the leak is the operation. The leak is the op. It says here, the intel leak is the operation created by the intelligence community to support new expanded powers for the fourth branch of government. It should not be a surprise to discover the institution now leading the charge to give more power for the U.S. intel agencies is, wait for it, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. This is something that Sundance has been on for years. In fact, we quote him at length in this book, America Under Attack. If you don't have this book, call our operators today and request your free copy. No cost, no obligation. The 800 number, if you live in the U.S. or Canada or the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. It says the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence is the organizational institution that supports the fourth branch of government, the intelligence branch, or the security state, as Greenwald put it. The SSCI previously created a bipartisan restrict act to deal with dangerous information on the internet. You may have heard about this a few days ago. Now it's all the more important to get this Restrict Act in place so that we can restrict information. Disinformation, false information, leaked information that might spread on the internet. This is from NBC. Sundance quotes from it. It says here, Senate Intel Committee Chairman Mark Warner, Democrat, Virginia, said the leak raised yet more questions about how the government manages its secrets. Only months after revelations that successive administrations appeared to have mishandled classified documents. And then it quotes him. He says, I think it's time that Congress plays a role here in setting some parameters. And then Sundance keys in on that word in particular. Parameters, you see. That's what the government needs more of. More boundaries that tighten the control over free speech. We've got to put more parameters in place. It says the Restrict Act, also known as the bipartisan bill to empower the executive branch to shut down TikTok, also known as the Online Patriot Act. So you know about some of that history, the TikTok hearings from a couple weeks ago. And then you add this now to the list. Well, look at what this kid did. We can't have this going on. We can't have these kinds of sensitive documents just sitting on social media sites for months without us not knowing it. And like he brings out, whose fault? Or I guess it was the tweet I read. Whose mistake was this? How the kid got the security clearance? I mean, it's possible. We don't know exactly what his role was in the military. But how he got the clearance and got the documents. I mean, this is on the military. But here the kid's going to be the fall guy, Teixeira. He's going to take the hit for this. And then the Joe Bama people will use it as a pretext to expand their already massive amount of deep state powers. Yet another power grab. America is under attack. There's just one more story here that I feel like is an important one as well. This U.S. weapons stockpiles being depleted. This is another angle to the story, the Ukraine story, that they cover up. That really they don't give us the truth. Just so many lies, as Tucker noted last night. It says the transactions. Which page was this? Where's page six? Got my notes out of order. So I'm missing this. Here we go. Here at the top, from the Daily Caller. It says, the U.S. reached an agreement last month to obtain 500,000 rounds of 155-millimeter artillery shells, on loan from South Korea. We're borrowing munitions from people like South Korea or nations like South Korea. It says here, U.S. stocks of the 155-millimeter round, which see a high level of consumption on the battlefield in Ukraine, have fallen to critically low levels. We're depleting our own stockpiles. We left a stockpile in Afghanistan. That was just a year and a half ago. And then now there's this. And then China's angling. I mean, it's making preparations to move on Taiwan. I mean, China sees this. The whole world sees it. We got into that earlier this week. This is our time, they're saying. They saw Afghanistan, and China and Russia together said, it's now time to move. And Putin certainly did on Ukraine. It says here, and the Biden administration sought artillery ammunition from South Korea in March, according to documents seen by the DCNF. South Korea will lend the shells to the U.S. rather than selling to avoid the possibility of those shells being delivered to Ukraine in a future assistance package, thereby violating a South Korean policy against supplying lethal arms to countries at war. It says here, the U.S. sent more than 1.5 million 155-millimeter shells for the howitzer system to Ukraine, as well as an additional 6,500 GPS-guided rounds, according to a fact sheet that was accurate as of April 4. It says, for comparison, the U.S. produces about 15,000 rounds per month, the New York Times reported. Pretty significant developments coming out from Ukraine and really everywhere in the world. And so much of it, manipulated, twisted, or even covered up. And so many lies being told. No wonder they're going after the leaker now. That's the big story. And going back to the Biden crime family, what a convenient distraction it is as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advanced news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet Daily.
Saudi negotiators met with Iran-backed Houthi representatives in Yemen on Sunday for peace talks to end the 8-year Yemeni civil war. As part of a deal negotiated by China last month, Iran agreed to stop attacking Saudi Arabia via the Houthis, while the Saudis agreed to withdraw their troops from Yemen. A permanent peace deal along these lines would solidify Iran's influence over Yemen through the Houthis. Yemen sits on the hugely strategic Bab el-Mandeb Strait, a key seagate for the shipment of goods like oil from the Middle East and Asia to Europe. Energy-hungry Europe is acutely aware of the dangers posed by Iran gaining control of these vital seagates. To understand the significance of Iran's potential takeover of this strategic area, please read our free booklet, Germany's Secret Strategy to Destroy Iran. China simulated attacking Taiwan during a 3-day military exercise over the weekend. The exercise began after Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen returned from visiting the U.S. The exercise involved at least 91 military aircraft and 12 warships performing tactical maneuvers around Taiwan, including aircraft armed with live missiles. China often uses state visits between the U.S. and Taiwan as an excuse to perform large-scale military maneuvers in the Taiwan Strait and around the island. Bible prophecy indicates that in the end time, America would be too weak to use its military power, and China would increase in military strength and belligerence against America. This military exercise clearly indicates that China is preparing to regain control of Taiwan, and America is already too weak to protect its supposed ally. Latvia's parliament voted on April 5th to reinstate mandatory military service for men. Males ages 18 to 27 will be required to serve for up to a year in Latvia's National Armed Forces, beginning in January 2024. The mandate was reinstated because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Latvia is not the only country concerned about Russia. In 2015, shortly after Russia invaded and annexed Crimea, Lithuania reintroduced conscription. Lithuania's president at the time cited fears of the current geopolitical environment as the reason for the change. Germany and Poland are also discussing reinstating compulsory service. The war in Ukraine highlights Russia's goal to regain its control over Eastern Europe. Russia's aggressive actions are causing Europe to militarize, which will lead to the fulfillment of many end-time prophecies. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Earlier this week, we talked about following in the steps of Jesus Christ. I took you through a few verses in 1 Peter 2, which we can repeat here in this shorter version of our Bible study segment. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 is the memory verse that says that we ought to follow in his steps, follow in Christ's steps. Mr. Armstrong said this in the Sabbath booklet, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ lives today. Why then is Christ pictured either as a helpless babe in his mother's arms, glorifying the mother even ahead of Christ, or else hanging dead on the cross? It says, Jesus Christ is alive today. He's alive. It says, for more than 1,900 years, he has been the living head and the high priest of the true church, which he built. And so he did rise from the dead. But what is he doing? What is he up to today? If he's at the right hand of God, what is his role? What is his purpose? What is his work? Well, there's quite a few verses that describe his work. He's a workman just like his father is. You can see that in John 5. They're busy. They're family beings. They're building a family. And you can read all about this incredible purpose and plan being worked out here below in Herbert Armstrong's book, Mystery of the Ages. The incredible human potential comes to mind as well. All the literature that we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. But it says here in 1 Peter 2, verse 22 now, it says, who did no sin, speaking of Christ, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. It says in verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. I mean, that sacrifice was made for us. The torturous beating, and then the spearing of our Savior to death, crucifying Christ, that we might be healed and that we might be saved. Read Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 on your own time. But notice verse 25, just to finish off this chapter, it says, for you were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. That Greek word for bishop there, it means overseer, the overseer of your souls. I mean, this is speaking of Christ's responsibilities today, what he's doing as our living Savior. He's our shepherd, our chief shepherd. He's overseeing us. Thayer says it's a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly. Any curator, guardian, or superintendent. We need his guidance. We need his lead because we're all sheep that have gone astray. And we need direction from the chief shepherd. We need for Christ to look after our souls, our lives, in other words. Jesus said this in Matthew 10, verse 16. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." I'm sending you forth as sheep. And of course, he's saying now, you're not just any ordinary sheep. You've got to be courageous. You've got to be able to, you know, discern where the wolves are and to get the protection that you need from the chief shepherd from those vicious attacks. Notice James 4. This is verse 13. It says, Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. It says, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that approaches or appears, I should say, for a little time and then vanishes away. We don't think often enough about just how temporary this physical existence is, just how short our time is on this earth, just how fast that physical lifetime goes by. Verse 15, it says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know what? In other words, take advantage or use your time wisely and fulfill God's will, not your own. It says in verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know that this is what you're supposed to be doing, you see, getting the sin out of our life or removing the leavening is not the only lesson that we take away from the days of unleavened bread. We're also to replace it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, the unleavened bread of righteousness. Notice James 1, just a few pages back, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive that word. Let God graft it into your soul, into your heart. Make it part of you. Verse 22 says, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, this is what it means to follow in Christ's steps. He was a doer. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He never did sin. Verse 23, it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. You're not cleaning up your life the way that you would if you looked into a physical mirror and you saw some blemishes that needed attention. You'd attend to it. You'd do something. Verse 25, it says, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, you see, continues in that law, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See, the Bible that we study regularly, God expects for us to translate that into action, into being a doer of the word. That's what it means to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, the living Christ. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.